Before we get in the Word, let's all stand and have another word of prayer this morning. I just feel impressed with the Lord to just ask, Father, right now, we just invite the Holy Spirit to have His way in our service this morning. We know, Lord, that everything done, everything we've ever been, everything we'll ever be, is empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. You told us in Acts 2 that we would receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon us to be a witness. And Lord, all of us are called to be a witness, so we just invite the Holy Spirit to come down in this place and just to tabernacle here. We know, Lord, He doesn't point to Himself. He still points to You, Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. But Lord, without His help, we couldn't even come to You. And so we need You and we need Him, the Holy Spirit, in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We are beginning a series, although I will have a little short Christmas message next week, but we're beginning a series called Disabled People. That's kind of a funny name, and I asked the Lord, are You sure You want me to use that, Lord? I wasn't really sure. And, yeah, I couldn't think of anything better, so I took His silence as a yes. You know, there's an interesting truth throughout Scripture, and that truth is that oftentimes it is the people with disabilities or chronic illnesses who actually see and touch Jesus long before the rest of us, quote, normal people do. We also find in the book of Revelation, in Jesus' letter to the seven churches, that the last day church, which I believe we are, as the church that thinks they're normal when they're disabled. You say you can see, but you're blind. You say that you're clothed and you're naked. And so in reality, we are all disabled people. But the good news is it's the disabled people that touch Jesus. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And we're going to look at this morning the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Most of us are familiar with this story. Mark chapter 5. Now, you can find the story also in Matthew 9:20 and in Luke 8:43. But Mark's gospel gives us probably the most detail. There's a few little issues that Matthew, and I tried to incorporate them all in together, but we're going to look at the story in Mark chapter 5, begin reading at verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For she said, "If only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But His disciples said to Him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched my? Who touched me?'" I think that's kind of funny, personally. And He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Isn't that an awesome story? Here we see the story of a woman who had faith. Lord, help us to be like that woman. Help us to not look at our own strength, but rather His. Because they were all touching Him, but only one touched Him with faith. Amen. Now, this story is actually a story in the middle of a story. If you read the whole context, a fellow by the name of Jairus had a 12-year-old daughter who was on death's bed, and Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. This is what I like about this, because here we have a woman who interrupted the plan of God. Can you interrupt God's plan? Oh, yes, you can. Here we have a woman who interrupted where Jesus was going. Aren't you glad Jesus is never too busy for you and me? Aren't you glad that even though he's commanding angels, spinning worlds, and commanding generals, and watching over the Middle East, and has got his eye on Israel, that any one of us with a little bit of faith can touch the hand of Jesus and make him stop in his journey and take notice? Glory to God. I said glory to God. I am glad that Jesus can stop when I touch him by faith. I'm glad that I can get his attention. As we begin to look in this series about disabled people, you'll find that these disabled people, these people who are a little less than normal, who are a little less than well, who are a little less than what you and I think we are, have the power to stop Jesus. Makes me want to be like them, don't it? You? Hallelujah. Now, of course, she was a woman. We know in the Old Testament days, the Jewish culture didn't look at women quite the same way as they looked at men. If you lived in the Old Testament days, or even in Jesus' time, and you were a Jew, if some woman was expecting and the child was about to be born, they'd bring all the Jewish men over and they'd bring all their instruments over. And they'd be waiting for the handmaiden to come out of the back room and make the announcement so they could usher in and start praising God with their Jewish songs and hymns and cymbals if it was a boy. And if it was a girl, they'd all just pack up and go home. Yeah, I'm sorry, ladies, that's the way it was. I'm not condoning that. I'm just telling you the way it was. That was the culture of the time. But women, on the other hand, are highly used by God throughout the Scriptures. In fact, it's usually a woman, men, man. Just you and I, Tom. I'm not saying this to step on anybody's toes, because it was a woman, Elizabeth, who said regarding her son, John the Baptist, his name is John. It was Mary, the mother of Jesus, visited by an angel that said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. Behold your handmaiden." It was a sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with his hair while a hypocritical Pharisee stood by and watched. It was a woman, Mary, who sit at Jesus' feet while Martha was busy cooking, because she had enough sense to know the best place to be is at the feet of Jesus. It was a widow woman who gave us all an example of giving when Jesus said, "This woman, though she only gave 2 cents, gave more than all of you because she gave everything she had." It was a woman, an adulterous woman that was caught in the act of adultery, that Jesus showed how much he loved her by saving her from the stones of the Pharisees. Jesus rescued her. It was a woman who prepared spices for Jesus' body. It was women who were first at the tomb. And it was a woman who preached the first Easter message: God uses women. Amen? And so here in our story, in our text, here is a woman, a disabled woman, a woman with a disease, an affliction, an issue of blood. Matthew calls it a disease. And we understand that she had this issue of blood for 12 years. Now, every time the Holy Spirit gives us a number, I always like to ask why. Because there's nothing in Scripture that's there by coincidence. Everything is breathed by the Holy Spirit. And when you look at biblical numerology, the number 12 represents government. Government. Well, what could that be? You know, some things never change. It's real common that people look to the government for their security. We even carry a card called Social Security in our wallet, don't we? You know, people look to government, and the bigger the government is, the more secure we think we are. My future is secure. I have a Social Security card, right? And man always looks to government. Years ago, I don't know if I should tell this or not. Oh, well, why not? Years ago, I was at my oldest son's wife when he was still married to this woman, and they were going out. It was Christmas time, and they were going out to get some snacks. And I said, I'd like some shrimp. Well, I'll get some shrimp. Well, let me give you some money. Ah, you don't need to give me money. I got this card here. Food stamp card. It's free. Well, no, it's not free. Actually, I paid the taxes so you could get it. But it's just nature of man to look to man for their help. It is natural for people to look to man for their help. But sometimes man fails us. Sometimes man falls short. And when everything falls short, we have nowhere to go but God. Lord, help us to flip that around and make that our first priority. Amen. So she had this issue of blood for 12 years. Now, an issue of blood. The Bible tells us that life is in the blood, right? When I worked for Hillcrest years ago, there was a big lawsuit because a nurse microwaved a lady's blood. It was common for them to microwave the saline solution to warm it up. It was in the fridge. And those doctors would put a lot of pressure on them to get all those people discharged over the weekend so they didn't have to make rounds on all of them. And he said, I want this woman out of there. And some nurse told some aide to go microwave the blood. Of course, it killed the woman because life is in the blood. We knew that. George Washington died because he had a bad cold. And back in those days, they called them blood letters, that he had bad blood. So they bled the man to death. That's how George Washington died. And on his night table was a Bible that said the life is in the blood. So this woman has an ailment where blood keeps running out of her. Life is running out of her. Life is running out of her, continually flowing from her. You realize that every day of our life, life is flowing out of us? The clock is ticking. Every day we get closer to the grave. Every day we get closer to eternity. Life is always flowing out of us. Just like this woman with the issue of blood, only she knew it, and sometimes people don't. They live like they'll be tomorrow. They say, I don't want to talk about death. I don't want to pretend that I just want to pretend that everything's going to be fine. And yet we never know when the death angel will knock on our door. Life is in the blood. Life was flowing from her. Life is flowing from us. We try to look younger, feel younger, cram in fun and experiences in our life, hoping to revigorate our life, but it continues to flow. We look for the meaning, trying to find love and happiness, joy and meaning, but it continues to flow. We bury ourselves in our family, our kids, our grandkids, to not think about it, but life continues to flow out. And she had an issue. The issue was life was leaving her, and it had been leaving her for a while. Do you know, we look at her as someone diseased and disabled, but she is smarter than all of us because she knew life was leaving her, and she knew she needed a touch. And yet life is leaving us, and we go on every day thinking that we can get through tomorrow without touching Jesus. I'm here to tell you, we need a touch from God. We need to touch Jesus. Life is flowing. Now, the next thing it said is that she suffered many things at the hands of physicians. We won't even talk about at the hands, but she suffered many things. How many of you guys have ever suffered a few things in your life? Most of us have lived a long time. We've shed a few tears, haven't we? We've had a few heartaches. Now, with the doctors testing her and prodding her, giving her drugs and experiments, on and on, on and on, on and on, at the hand of these doctors, but we suffer many things. God sends us through tests and trials. The devil prods us like those doctors did. We try to fix ourselves with drug and alcohol and sex and anything to numb the pain, but it's still there. It's still there. Just like that woman, but we don't realize it because we think we're normal. You know, if you guys hear nothing else, hear this. We think we're normal, don't we? You know what? That passage in Revelation where Jesus said, you think you can see and you can't. That's what this series is all about. It's to help us realize, I'm not normal and neither are you. I can't make it without a touch from God. The next thing it said is that she spent all she had. Hallelujah. How do we spend what we have? We spend our time, our energy, our efforts. We work hard at having fun or earning a living, burying ourselves in our job, trying to build something or fix it or make it, man's midlife crisis, getting a sports car like a 75 Gremlin. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? A woman getting a facelift, spending her time, money, energy, passion, spending it all for what? For a day when the doctors say there's nothing more that we can do, for a failed marriage, a failed job, failed health. Without Jesus, mankind is a fool building its house on the sand. And at the end, on death's door, you look back and you say, for what? For what? You know, the Lord began to stir me as I was preparing this message. You know, I've always said I'm content working a job, being bivocational. But you know what? I just love to be spending my time praying for about 3 hours a day. Because someday, at the end of life, I'm going to look back. And every one of those computer programs I wrote isn't going to be worth a hill of beans. You know? We only have one life. Only the things were done for Christ really matter. I'm tired of spending my life on the things that do not matter. How about you? She spent all she had. And we, like the woman, despite all our efforts, are no better, but worse. But when she heard that Jesus was coming. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith increases every time we hear the Word of God. I'm not saying every sermon, because sometimes a lot of sermons are a lot of fluff. But I can tell you, faith does come by hearing the Word of God. And when the Word of God is preached under the anointing, it begins to electrify your spirit, and you begin to say, hey. And that's what happened to this woman that day. Something someone said, inspired by the Holy Spirit, became a rhema word for her, a living word, that Jesus was coming. Jesus was coming. I can't explain it, and I cannot tell you why. Oh, what's the next line? What a something. When Jesus passed by, right? Remember that song? When Jesus passed by, when Jesus passed by. Oh, what a moment when Jesus passed by. You know, Jesus passes by us every day. And for most of us, it's like a face in the crowd. You heard the story about the guy that said, you know, Lord, this, you know, he sits down and finally starts reading his Bible and spending time with God. He said, Lord, this is so good. Where you been? He said, I've been sitting on the couch for 6 weeks. You've been running by me every morning. You know, we've got to take time. She heard of Jesus. We don't know what she heard, a healer, a prophet, a man of God, a miracle worker, and the Messiah, the Savior of the world. I don't know what she was thinking, but she might have thought, well, I've tried Dr. Abbott, and I've tried Dr. Baker, and I've tried Dr. Campbell, Dr. Dixon, Dr. Evans, Dr. Fitzgerald, Dr. Graham. I've tried Dr. Hill, Dr. Jones, Dr. Kildare. You didn't know I was going to do the alphabet, did you? Kildare was easy. I had to look up a few of these. Dr. Lambert, Dr. Mason, Dr. Nash, Dr. O'Neill, Dr. Pryor, Dr. Quinn. Dr. Ramirez, Dr. Smith, Dr. Thomas, Dr. Ulrich, Dr. Vance, Dr. Williams, Dr. Xavier, Dr. Young, Dr. Zurich. And like the woman, she had tried it all. She had went from A to Z and was no better but worse. I might as well try Jesus. I might as well give Jesus a try. Now it says she came in, the King James Version, in the press. It's the crowd. You know, the crowd can be likened unto religion. Because religion will keep you from Jesus. Religion will keep people from Jesus more than the world keeps people from Jesus. I mean, they'll say, oh, you don't want to go to that kind of church. You know, over here we are dignified. We sing three hymns and we have a little thing, and then, you know, he sprinkles holy water over you and you go home and you've done your religious duty and you feel justified. Over there they shout. Over there they holler. over there. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, they're crazy. They're on the other side of the tracks. Right? We're the dignified crowd. And it's that way today as it was back then. The crowd is all around him, but she is having to make her way through the crowd. I might have got saved at a younger age. I remember a Church of Christ, maybe it was the Lord's and it was Church of Christ, but Church of Christ bus picked up me and my friend, and we said a little prayer in a Sunday school class with the teacher, and I remember feeling something. And the next week at school in civics and economics, teacher said something, and I said, I don't remember what I said, something about God. She goes, are you getting religious? And that was the end of it right there. Peer pressure. That's the crowd. The crowd was around him. Religion, peer pressure, unbelief, stopping people from giving their life to Jesus. But she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, the seam, the hem, come under his authority. In those days, the Jewish rabbis had tassels on, some of them had tassels on their robe, and they represented their authority. And this was scriptural. When we read the story of Ruth, she sits at the feet of Boaz and says, spread your covering over me. It means coming under the covering of the authority of God. And you know, some people, they want to get to God, but they want to get to him on their terms up here. And you can't get that way. You want a miracle from God, you got to come his way. Amen? You can't go through another way. The way is still the cross. The cross is still the answer. You know, there is a lot of messages in churches today, but the only one that really matters is still the cross. It's still the only bridge between a holy God and a sinful man. And so she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch. Now, she said within herself, you see, the Bible teaches us that the way we get what we want is faith has to mix with confession. Amen? Jesus said, when you say to the mountain, be thou removed, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe, you shall have what you say. Now, those are not my words. I know that a lot of the faith movement, which I think is a little imbalanced, has made a whole religion out of that passage. There's just as more important passages about forgiveness and loving your neighbor. So we're not gonna make a religion out of it, but it doesn't negate the fact that it's there. And this is how faith mixed with my confession, God begins to have the door open so he can move on my behalf. I cannot say, oh, I don't think it'll work, but I'll try, and expect God to perform a miracle. But she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. I know that God will do it. She had faith and she had confession, and together a miracle took place that day. This disabled woman, this woman who had this issue of blood, whose life had been running out of her whole adult life, looking for answers everywhere, had spent all she had, came to Jesus with faith and a confession, and God performed a miracle. And you and I can have the same thing. Amen? The same exact thing. This is my day for a miracle. Hallelujah. You hear that, devil? She came to the press. She touched his garment. She spoke to her mountain and said, I believe that if I can touch him, I'll be healed. Amen? Now, some of us might say, well, why didn't she have to touch his head? Why didn't she have to? Now, I talked about coming under his authority, but, you know, some people say, well, you know, but it's the head, it's his face, or his hands. They were the ones that were going to be nail scarred. That seems so little. Just down here, it seems so little. You see, the reason some people think they can't get something from God is they think they have to have great faith. But Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed there is, you know what? You've got enough faith. You know, you've got enough faith. Well, I don't think I have enough faith. Well, how much faith do you need? This much faith is enough. Down here at the feet of Jesus, not even touching him, just the hem of his garment, it's enough. You don't need great faith, you just need faith. Because faith is great when you mix it with a confession and the faith giver, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so she had mustard seed faith. Elijah, the Bible says, was a man with like passions. That means God uses normal men like you and I, normal people like you ladies. God uses, and he prayed it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 3 years. That means that you don't have to be some giant. You don't have to be a televangelist. You don't have to be on TV. You don't have to pastor 1,000. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to, like, eat worms. You can just have a little bit of faith and mix it with a confession at the feet of Jesus and watch him work on your behalf. Amen? Glory. Hallelujah. And what did she say? If I touch, I shall be made whole. I shall be. I shall be. Do you ever look at your own flaws and say, I'm weak or I'm this? I think God, the Holy Spirit, really, really honed in on those three words when I was preparing this. Got them in capital letters, bold on my notes. I shall be. If I can touch Jesus, I shall be what God wants me to be. You know, God wants us all to be more. The old hymn, "My aim, my goal is higher ground." Every Christian should be aiming for something higher, a walk with God, something deeper, a move of God, something greater. I shall be. If I can touch Jesus, I shall be. If I can touch him, I can do. If I can touch him, it will come. I shall be whole. It transcends intellectual. It transcends circumstantial knowledge. It was Job that said, I know my Redeemer lives and he will stand upon the earth the latter day. There is a knowing that transcends intellectualism. There is a knowing that transcends feelings. It comes from deep on the inside. I shall be whole. Amen. And the Bible says, straightway. That means immediately. Immediately, she was healed of her plague. Immediately, a change took place. Immediately, God did something supernatural. Immediately. Well, if I pray and I fast for 6 weeks, you know, then God may hear me. I'm going to touch him today. I'm not leaving here till I got what I came for. I'm not leaving here until I touch Jesus. I'm not leaving here until God performs a miracle. Amen? Hallelujah. Immediately, she was healed of the plague. Let's look at verse 30. We pretty much read it all, but I'm going to read this again. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. Now, you know, you do not have to tell Jesus when he touches you, because he knows it. Amen. You want to get his attention? You don't do it by works. You do it by faith. How much money you give doesn't impress Jesus. Who you know doesn't impress him. Even if we, you know, gave our life for the gospel, that doesn't impress him. Faith impresses him. Faith gets his attention. You know, Jesus marveled at people's faith. When you read the Gospels, he marveled at their faith. He said, in all Israel, I've never met anyone with this much faith as this centurion. He marveled at their faith. That's what impresses God, faith. It's the only thing that impresses him. It's the only thing that'll stop him on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. Faith stopped him. And so immediately he turned around in the crowd and he said, who touched me? Of course, you know, Peter's like, what you talking about, boss? They all got the hands on you. What do you mean, who touched me? there is a touch of faith. That's what we're talking about this morning, the touch of faith. Now, if it was only a physical touch, we'd all be out of luck because Jesus ain't going to be walking by here like he did in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. He's sitting at the right hand of God. But because the touch of faith is the only touch he feels, then I can take comfort that he's at the right hand of God because I can still touch him today. Faith knows no distance. Faith has no distant barrier. He doesn't have to be coming by in a crowd today for me to touch him by faith. I can reach out and touch him by faith today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can reach out this morning with this woman's faith, and I can touch Jesus today, and I can leave here changed. All the stuff in my life that I've done wrong, all the blood that's run out of me, all the life that's run out of me, all my weaknesses, all my frailties, all my hurts, all my disappointments can be changed when I touch Jesus today. And he will stop as he stopped for this woman. And he looked around and he saw the woman trembling, knowing what had happened. You don't have to tell someone when they get healed. They know. You know, you don't have to. The guy that Jesus healed that was blind, the Pharisees are grilling him, you know, because they don't want him saying Jesus is a prophet or the Messiah. He said, I don't know about any of that stuff, guys. All I know is once I was blind and now I can see. You know, when a miracle's happened in your life, religion goes out the window. I don't care what you say. I have been touched by God. I don't know if he's a prophet. I don't know anything else. I just know once I was blind, now I see. Once I was lost, now I'm found. Once I was caught up in religion, now I've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Once I had an ailment, Jesus touched me, I was totally healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The anointing that comes by the Holy Spirit for healing, you don't even have to be prayed for by the preacher. It can happen right where you're sitting. It can happen anywhere. R.W. Shambach tells this story about this guy. His ears were blown out during World War II. He was deaf, couldn't hear. He was at one of the camp meetings, and Shambach's preaching, and there's an interpreter doing sign language, and he's watching the interpreter, and they have a call for the people to come forward for healing. And he comes through the line, and he says, "What's the matter?" He says, "I can't hear." He says, "You can't hear?" He goes, "No, my eardrums were blown out with a bomb during World War II." He said, "Well, then how are you hearing me talk to you?" The guy's like, see, the anointing, when you start preaching that Jesus still heals, the anointing begins to go out in the crowd. And somewhere while this deaf man is listening, watching the interpreter, the anointing of the Holy Spirit went out there and opened this man's ears. That's the way it works. And Jesus is passing by this morning. He's going up and down every chair at Faith Fellowship. All 10,000 of you. I said all 10,000 of you. And God is going to perform a miracle in your life. And Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has changed your circumstances. You were once disabled, you're not disabled anymore. You once had a disease, you don't have a disease anymore. You were once downtrodden, looked at as a second-class citizen. You were thought of as a has-been. You were thought of as someone who will never amount to anything. But Jesus passed by, and you exercised your faith and your confession, and you touched him in a way that nobody else did. You touched him with faith." Now, let me tell you what's happening in heaven now. I think we've got his attention. He's looking down. He's saying, "That old preacher, Telequa, he's preaching faith. He's preaching I still heal. He's preaching I can perform miracles. I wonder if anybody will respond." Hallelujah. I can't tell you about tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow brings. But Jesus said, "Tomorrow will take care of itself. This is the day for a miracle." Amen. This is my day for a miracle. Let's all stand. Come on up, ladies. This is my day for a miracle. I said, this is my day for a miracle. I can leave here the way I came, or I can let Jesus do a miracle in my life. And it all comes down to just being hungry, being desperate. You know, if we don't recognize our disability, we will never be desperate enough for God to change us. It's the disabled people that are desperate. And we've got to come to the place where we recognize our own weaknesses, our own frailties, our own carnality, our own sinfulness, our own poverty, spiritual poverty, that I am not rich, I'm poor, that I don't see, I'm blind, that I'm not clothed, I'm naked, and I need to touch Jesus this morning. And when I recognize my spiritual poverty, and I begin to not put myself in the separate class, but in the same class as that woman with the issue of blood, then I am in the position to, by faith, touch Jesus as he goes by. Lord, I don't consider myself anything. I know I am spiritually, Lord, poor. And I know, Lord, that even as much as I know and as much as I've done, Lord, I am spiritually blind. And as much as I know and as much as I've been, Lord, I am weak. And I'm not satisfied with another Sunday morning without a touch from you, Lord. I want to touch Jesus this morning. I'm not going to ask for hands. I'm not going to come up and anoint you with oil. He's here. This is your day to leave touched by God. I want a touch from Jesus this morning. Lord, we are reaching out in faith right now. We are a needful people. We need, Lord, we need a touch from you. We need a miracle in our lives, Lord. We are not rich. We are not seen. We are blind and poor and naked and miserable. We are like that woman. Life is running out of us, and we don't want to come to the end of our life and look back and say, what have I done for Jesus? Not much. Lord, we need a change this morning. We need a miracle. We need a touch from you. We are waiting on you this morning, Lord. We're not in a hurry. We have come to this point for this hour, for such a time as this, that we would feel and experience the fullness of your power and presence, that we would be changed, that our walk would be changed, that our talk would be changed, that our life would be changed, Lord. Change us this morning, Lord, we pray. Change us this morning, Lord, we pray. Oh, God, we are hungry for change. We are hungry for your touch this morning, Lord. We are hungry for a move of God. As we begin to move into the 2014 era, the era of the blood-red moons, as we are approaching the final curtain on this drama called Planet Earth, Lord, we are not satisfied with the status quo. We want to see Jesus lifted up. We want to see Jesus in our lives. We want to shine with his love and his power and his presence more than ever before, Lord. There is a lost world that is needing us, God. We want more. We want more this morning, Lord. We need more. We need more of you. More of you. More of you, Lord. More of you. More of you. I confess, Jesus is my healer. I know I shall be made whole. I confess Jesus is my restorer. I know I shall be restored. I confess that Jesus is my provider. I know that my financial needs will be met. I confess that Jesus is my friend. I know that my insecurities will be healed. I confess that Jesus is my coach. I know that by him and through him, I can run on a wall. I can take out the enemy. I can do great things. Most of all, above all, I know that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that this Christmas season, it will be more than a baby in a manger. It will be the Messiah in my heart in a new way, in a special way, in a miraculous way, that I will know him who to know is life eternal, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death, that I may know him in a deep and a personal way, that I may experience Jesus alive in me. Lord, that's the greatest miracle we can have. We receive it this morning by faith, just like that woman. And we give you all of the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. and amen. Go ahead, ladies, and sing if you'd like. Father, as we close today, we pray, Lord, that you would continually remind us of our own spiritual poverty, our own weaknesses, our own disabilities, that through these things, Lord, we would be more hungry and more passionate to touch you every day. In Jesus' name, we pray.